is. I'm here to learn as much as I am to teach. So, the work of the church, what is the work of the church? Anybody want to take a shot at it? Amen. I think that's kind of it in a nutshell. There's several others I'll mention, but we're here to worship God, to have fellowship with Him, and not just us, but to share God's love and fellowship with everyone on His terms, though, because we can never forget His holiness. So, going back to our first lesson, first, we must have fellowship with God to truly have fellowship with anyone else. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And the focal passages will be Romans 12, pretty much the entire chapter, although I won't be reading the entire chapter, but I'll be referring to it, and 1 Corinthians 12, which both of those chapters deal with the gift of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, sorry. Now, once we have this fellowship with God, and thus with fellow believers, we are to proclaim the gospel to non-believers. As it says in the Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. But proclaiming the gospel is only part of the work of the church. Loving and caring for one another as the body of Christ is a vital work of the church. What are some ways we can do this? Show that we love and care for each other. Well, by no means an exhaustive list, and I encourage you all, if you think some other, to add, but first, we are to love one another. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 13:34-35. In the interest of time, I'm not going to quote all these scriptures, but I think you'll recognize the thought. We are to feed the flock, both the sheep and the lambs, as it says in John 21st chapter. We are to provoke unto love and good works, as it says in Hebrews 10. And we are to assemble together and exhort or encourage one another. Again, Hebrews 10. We are to bear each other's burdens, as it says in Galatians 6. And we are to do good unto all men, again, as it says in Galatians 6. And we are to edify or build up the body, the work of the ministry, and the perfecting of the saints, as it says in Ephesians 4. Now, in lesson 1, we dealt with the fruit of the Spirit that God gives to every Christian as we seek to grow in fellowship with and service to God, including the work of the church. Now let us turn our attention to the specific gifts of the Spirit listed for the church to carry out its work. In this, our second lesson, we learned that each member of the body of Christ is unique, and we all work together in unity to serve the head, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. As Romans 12:6-8 states, we have each been given specific gifts to carry out the work of the church. Specifically, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with liberality, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So what are some of these gifts? And what are, I hesitate to use the term favorite gifts, but some that just have special meaning to any of you? For instance, anybody have the gift of prophecy? And I'll actually deal with that a little bit later, but I do think it's kind of open. But obviously when I deal with that later, there's good reason to think that that gift is no longer with us. So now, speaking of the gifts of the Spirit, people have tried to group these as temporary versus permanent, education versus edification, ministry versus evangelism. I personally feel that there's so much overlap that can do as much harm as good, although it might help try to organize it a little bit. For example, I used to think that ministry is what we do for Christ to fellow Christians, and evangelism is what we do for Christ to non-believers. But, as will be shown in the very near future, at least I hope so, this isn't accurate. So I would like to list the gifts of the Spirit listed in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12, give a brief explanation of what each gift is. I will try to actually be brief. And when appropriate, a Bible verse to illustrate the use of that gift. So first, let's start in Romans 12. Prophecy, to foretell, is the actual Greek. For instance, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. This is in Acts 11. And what was this prophecy? And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar, specifically Acts 11, 27, and 28. So in that case, its prophecy certainly means to foretell before it actually came to be. So next gift, tongues, which properly interpreted is languages. And speaking of interpreted, that gift includes both speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues, or that's two separate gifts, but both are covered. So, for instance, as it says in 1 Corinthians 14, 22, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying, two for one special here, serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. The gift of knowledge, or to know, specifically the word of knowledge. Now, there are many verses that talk about growing in the knowledge of our Lord, 2 Peter 3:18, but I couldn't find one that specifically mentions it as a gift of the Spirit, and that will be the case for several of these. Doesn't mean that it's not in there, I just couldn't find it. So if any of you guys want to enlighten me, I appreciate it. Now, why did I choose those three specifically? Because I'm certainly not taking it in order that they're listed. Well, because as it says in 1 Corinthians 13:8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. We know from continuing in that chapter, from verse 10, that when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. But what is the perfect, and have these three gifts, and perhaps others, been done away? Any comments? The Bible mentions several perfects, so just what is the perfect? Is it the Word of God that it came? Is it Christ's second coming? Is it the perfect will of God? Like I said, I'm here to learn as much as to teach. This has really been humbling to me. So does that mean that the gifts of prophecy and tongues and knowledge are all still there? Again, I don't know. It's just, I mean, I've gone through some of this and just such pat answers. Well, this is this, this is this, and I'm just being honest. I'm not sure. Yes. So speaking of gifts, what about the gift of healing, which literally is the gift of cure or healing? Has this gift of the Spirit failed, ceased, and vanished away, like it says in 1 Corinthians 13:8? Yes? No? Okay, Mike. The floor recognizes Mike, proper Robert's Rules of Order or something like that. With that in mind, Cheryl has told me she thinks I have the gift of healing. But I know I have never healed anyone by laying hands on them, or, as it says in Acts 5:15, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And I've never said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, like Peter did in Acts 3:6. Well, I would say, and again, I'm not saying one way or the other, but I would say that I think Paul would say, desire the better gifts. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit gives as the Holy Spirit in his wisdom sees fit. But we are not supposed to go, I got the gift of tongues, so I am a better Christian than you. That is a very bad thing to do. Yes, Mike? Well, let's take, for instance, James 5, 14 and 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I really don't understand that. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, and again, I'm just throwing it out there. Do we think that the elders or some of the elders had the gift of healing and the gift of miracles, and that's why the sick were to call for the elders to pray over them? Or do we think that they basically were just being obedient to God and God performed the miracle through them and not as a specific gift that he gave them? That's kind of how I'm leaning. But so, you know, I think one very important point is whether these gifts are still present or not, that in no way means that God has lost some of his power, that his power has faded away or anything. Our God is just as powerful, just as wise, just as everything as he ever has been, because I am the Lord God, as he says, I never change. So what about word of wisdom? I have no idea what that gift is, but it's listed. And then the next one listed, sorry, I didn't mean to cut anybody off, the gift of ministry. Now, I had mentioned earlier some of the overlap. For instance, it is true we are to minister to fellow Christians, as it says in Romans 15:25. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. But it's also true that we are to minister to the non-Christians. As it says in Romans 15:15, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Again, there's so much overlap. I mean, the next one up is teaching, to instruct or teach. All teachers have different styles, as evidenced by the following story. This was not pre-approved by Cheryl, but it is in the book, so I'm going to risk it. Little Tommy loved attending first grade Sunday school. His teacher, Mrs. Smith, told great Bible stories, and she would always end the story by saying, "And boys and girls, the moral of the story is..." Little Tommy enjoyed learning about the morals of each Bible story. But when Tommy entered second grade, he moved up to another Sunday school class taught by Mrs. Jones. She told Bible stories too, but her stories ended differently. They did not conclude with a moral. After some time, Tommy's mom asked him how he liked his new Sunday school teacher. Tommy said, "Mrs. Jones is okay. The only problem is she doesn't have any morals." Wasn't me, sorry. Okay. Yes. Yeah, I noticed that. It's like, I don't think I'll make any comments on that. I'll let you draw your own conclusions. So, okay, next gift, exhortation, to call near or alongside. This is actually a name for the Holy Spirit when he is called the Comforter. Giving, to give, that's pretty obvious. Ruling, to stand before, in other words, to have authority over. Mercy, compassion. Now, on to 1 Corinthians 12, the gift of faith. And a Bible verse, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Did he have the gift of faith? Discerning of spirits. We're told in 1 John 4, 2 through 3, how to recognize the spirit of Antichrist. But does the Holy Spirit still give the gift of the discerning of spirits? The gift of helps, which means to offer. The gift of government, which is to steer or direct. I think it's the same as the gift of ruling that we had mentioned earlier, but what do you think? And to conclude, it surprises me how many gifts of the Spirit are apparently listed for every Christian. I personally believe, and I may well be wrong, but that the Holy Spirit gives some Christians totally unique gifts and others a special understanding or power in an ability that all Christians have to some extent, perhaps like Elisha asking for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Again, whatever that means, but apparently it was granted to him. So for instance, how do you think the gift of faith is different than each Christian having faith and being able to pray to God to give us more faith? Is there a difference? What about the gift of mercy? Aren't we all supposed to be merciful? What about the gift of giving? Aren't we all supposed to be cheerful givers? The gift of exhorting? Aren't we all supposed to exhort one another? And forsake not the assembling, and forgive me, I'm not getting that right, but you know the passage. And again, the gift of ministry. Aren't we all supposed to be ministering to the needs of fellow brothers and sisters and the world at large? I guess that's one way of putting it. Yeah, I like that. Well, I don't have that gift, so I'm not putting anything in the offering plate. For, you know, one example. So, an exhort either means usually comfort, like in the same word for the Holy Spirit as the great comforter, but also to build up or edify. Well, we're 3 minutes over, and I don't want to cut into anybody else's time, but I've really enjoyed this, and thank you for the opportunity to be bringing these lessons. Mm-hmm. Shall we pray? Precious Heavenly Father, just thank you for the chance to be instructed by your Holy Spirit, Lord, to learn of the word that you gave us, the Bible, the basic instructions before leaving earth, Lord. And to be able to love one another and to build up one another and to learn from one another, Lord. And all of it through your wisdom and your power and your Holy Spirit that gives us that and that binds us together in peace, your peace that you give us, Lord, and your joy and your love. Now just be with us as we continue to worship you in song and message. In just loving one another, Lord. In your name and according to your will. Amen.